Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Noah Hyles joins us for a full hour. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We got a lot to go over with Noah. We said, what's the best thing to be best at? 412-928-9370. Someone texts in, being a father. You're right, nerd. I mean, I get that. Yeah, I value that more than anything else in my life, being a good father, being a good husband. Of course, those are incredibly important. But that's not a fun answer, so get out of here. Also, I'd like to apologize to a texter who said that I was ignorant for discounting soccer players on that Mount Rushmore list that Jason Mackey's putting together. I would like to apologize because I immediately said, this is America, I think then validating their point that I was ignorant.
Yes.
So my apologies. Noah, what's the best thing to be best at?
I think golf, just because it's really cool to do well on a golf course, like being able to shoot under par. And like I said before we went on air, you don't necessarily have to commit to being a professional golfer to make a lot of money being good at golf, like with YouTube and
stream it.
Yeah, you could just teach a couple of your buddies how to edit video and make millions of dollars playing golf every day.
Kind of like being friends with Pat McAfee.
Kind of.
I don't think those guys did broadcasting school or anything like that.
Honestly, the most valuable thing to be good at is just being friends with people.
Like, it's always better to be a friend of a guy with a boat than actually own a boat yourself.
Right. If you're a good hang, you can get pretty far.
Oh, yeah.
World. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Like, Turtle from Entourage lived an incredible life, and all he did was, like, drive around his friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being a good hang is maybe the most important thing to be good at.
I think that might be it.
That's a really, really good one.
The like best hang in human history.
Yeah. You're always going to be around. You're always going to get all the benefits.
It's kind of like Pomp. I think Pomp has made a career, of being a talented broadcaster.
The Disciples? Just good hangs, you know?
Man.
How did that work out for the Disciples after, you know, Jesus
left the tomb?
I mean,
they're known. They're pretty well known. If they were just friends with another carpenter, they probably aren't in a book, you know?
Jeez. I'm thinking, like, who's the best hang in, like, in American history? Who's, like, the best, like,
wingman? he does bring up a good point. Jesus, awesome hang.
Yeah.
We're hanging out.
I'm thinking.
We're at the pub. You order some waters. Bang. Wine.
I'm thinking, like.
Got some cool ladies around him, you know?
I'm thinking more like a hang of somebody that is successful. Like you're getting all the benefits.
There's a guy named, I don't know his last name. His name's like Tommy something. He's friends with like JJ Redick. He's like known to be a connector in the sports industry world. He's like who connects people from the Ringer to Barstool. Like he's how Part of My Take gets like a lot of their guests because Big Cat's friends with him. His name, I think it's Tommy Alter. I want to say his name is. And he's just,
you're just so cool that everybody wants to be friends with
him. He's literally friends with like the coolest people in media, influencers, and he's just a connector. And by being in that role too, you get to live the life of a celebrity, but don't have the celebrity problems.
Right.
Like he's able to go get groceries.
Wow. Yes.
He's able to be a normal person, but also
everything is free.
Yeah, but also live a life of fame and luxury.
I think that wins.
Being
to be the world's best hang.
Yeah.
Texter writes in, being the best at random yard games, cornhole, can jam, etc. I think the best hang is cool with all
too. Yeah. Because in order to be a good hang, you got to be versatile. You have to be able to have conversations about a multitude of topics. You got to be able to, you know, fit in all these different social settings. That means yard games. That means sports. That means music. That means culture. You got to be the world's best hang.
Dom, your thoughts?
I'm in lockstep here with Noah. I think being a good hang trumps everything else that you could do.
That being said, there are some setbacks, some drawbacks with that. I've been in way too many weddings lately.
Yeah, that can be expensive.
I love my friends.
Yeah.
But, and I would love to celebrate the day with them. But we're talking like $500 for a rented suit. And the bachelor parties are getting out of control lately. For mine, we had a party boat that went down the Allegheny, and it was very nice. And then we played games all day. We did softball and soccer, and, well, that was it. And we gambled and drank a lot. Now, anywhere, we got to go to Lake Tahoe. We got to go to Vegas. Vegas is great, but it's expensive if you're going to a bunch of weddings. And that, if you're the greatest hang, you're probably the best man in everybody's
wedding.
Well,
I will push back. I think there's a difference between being the best, the greatest friend,
right,
and the greatest hang.
Right.
I would argue the greatest hang gets the invite to the bachelor party and the invite to the wedding, but does not get in. He's not a part of the wedding party.
Yes.
He just goes there. You got a $100 bill in an envelope or in a card. You have the same suit that you wear, maybe two suits to 10 different weddings a year. I think that's a lot more doable.
Doran, can we suss something out on the air here?
Mm-hmm.
A show meeting on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Have we replaced Mackie on Fridays with Noah Hiles in perpetuity? And have we also replaced Nicholas Harry Callis with Dom in perpetuity?
Well, Dom has been about, 5 days now. So that is something that I think we need to talk about after the show now that Dom's gone. But Noah has been here for, 6.5 minutes, and I think that is a yes.
Yeah, he nailed it.
6.5 minutes, that's all it took.
Just being a good hang.
Being a good hang, yes.
It is 9:06, time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Greg Brown was on the station the other day, the voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and said he gets the feeling that Ben Cherington is up to something big. Are you getting the feeling that Ben Cherington is up to something big at the deadline?
I don't know if I would call it big. I do think there's pressure that he faces. But it's hard for me to imagine him doing anything differently than what he's done his entire tenure here, because he's been so consistent in everything that he's done as the Pirates general.
You got to be comfortable saying no.
I mean, that's just it. It's this guy. I mean, he's felt pressure, probably not as much pressure as he feels now. But I think that Ben's whole formula is sticking to the plan. And it would be interesting to me if he were to, do something entirely different out of his, normal set of behavior now, when his job's on the line. I think Ben's tendency would be to stick to the plan. So
what is the plan?
I think their goal is to build a better team for 2026. So that could mean a bold move, right? I mean, maybe, and it also depends on what you define as a
right.
bold move. But yeah, I mean, maybe like dealing Mitch Keller, right? Like that could be like the boldest I could see them doing. I don't see them taking on a ton of payroll. So I think that the boldest move we could see is them moving a player with years of control for another player for years of control, ideally a pitcher with years of control for a position player with years of control, maybe like another Horowitz move, but someone with a little bit more of an established presence at the game's highest level.
So like the hitter equivalent of Mitch Keller.
Or Bailey Falter. Those, I would say like those two. Or you could, on the flip side, do it like with the Ortiz thing, they found the hitter equivalent of Ortiz. You could trade an Ashcraft or a Burroughs, guys who are young, but show a lot of potential. You could find another one of those guys, like someone who had just come up in the major leagues but doesn't necessarily have a everyday spot. Try to find your Austin Meadows, really.
Do you think that they would trade in division, like with the Cubs, the whole Mitch Keller deal that was put out there?
I don't think they're opposed to it. I mean,
would you do it? Like, what sense does that make? You're kind of like cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah,
they need to get better. And I don't think it matters how they get better, honestly. I mean, that's the bottom line. And the Cubs probably have to offer more than, say, the Red Sox or the Orioles. But at the end of the day, I mean, Cherington said this. Like, he's been outward with saying he does not see free agency as a really big way they can make a splash. Like, they can make small additions, but he does. If there's going to be a huge addition to this roster, it's going to come through the trade market. And when you're operating from that frame of a business standpoint, you have to take the best offer available. And if that comes from the Reds, the Cardinals, the Cubs, you have to do it.
That would make me so sick.
I know.
Because you're attempting to do what they're already doing,
yeah.
And you would help them in their endeavor while helping yourself. So even if you get better, are you then pushing them up to
farther.
Quicker. Pushing them farther.
You'd pushing them quicker.
Like, I almost can't take it seriously. We're trying to win the division. We're trying to get into the playoffs. We're competing with these teams. Here, take our best Mitch Keller. It would perturb me. And it would hurt me even more if it were a team like the Reds or the Brewers, because I look at them in a more similar light than the Cubs, because they can spend a little bit more money.
Yeah.
412-928-9370. You got a question for Noah. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So you bring up Bailey Falter, and he's got years of control, and he's cheap, plus he's a lefty. You think you get more for Bailey or Mitch?
Mitch, for sure. The numbers are just more consistent over that three-year window.
Yeah.
You have more control with Mitch, too. More years of control. He comes at a higher price, but he's a price that a lot of teams, especially teams that are consistently contending, are willing to pay. You look at teams that win in October, you need three. If you have three starting pitchers that can give you five innings of work, you're in a really good spot. Because bullpens typically are what define October success on the mound. And you just need guys who can give those bullpens as little work to do as possible. Mitch Keller, even on his worst days, he's getting you into the fifth inning. And so he would be a number two on a lot of these staffs that are contending for the playoffs right now. At worst, he'd be a number three. And I think a lot of clubs would sign up for 5 years of that.
IKF, would you pay him or would you trade him? And please tell me that they wouldn't, if they do trade him, they wouldn't move Nick Gonzalez to shortstop.
I don't know what their plan is at shortstop. And that's where I think if you want to talk about like a big move that's made, they should, in my opinion, they should be looking to find their everyday shortstop this deadline. It's a seller's market right now. They're able to kind of set the price for
that's
guys
a good point.
Like Bednar, Santana, Keller, whoever they want to move. And if you look in this org, who's their true shortstop? I mean, we could say Piguero, but like, is he a real big leaguer? Connor Griffin, potentially, but I would argue that he could probably get here faster as an outfielder, and you kind of need him to get here fast.
Yeah.
So you don't really have a lot of true big league quality shortstops. So I would look to acquire that this deadline. And if that means moving a Keller or somebody else, then that's part of it. But So I don't know if Gonzalez would be moved. To answer your IKF question, yeah, I think he gets moved. I don't think he would want to re-sign here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it, too. You can't offer
someone. Why?
If you're going to trade with the Cubs, like I said this the other day,
yeah,
I'd trade Mitch Keller, attach IKF, and get Dansby Swanson and something else.
I don't know if you could get that. But, I mean, you're looking to get someone younger. I haven't done a ton of research into like what exactly is out there, but someone who has been brought up to me, and I don't know if I'm super high on this individual, but a similar situation, Jordan Lawler is a shortstop in the Diamondbacks organization. He's a former top 10 pick. I believe he's a top 10 prospect in baseball. He's just not hit at all in the major leagues in a very small sample size, but he has a ton of potential. And he has guys blocking him at every spot in the diamond. They're not going to play him over Suarez at third. They're not going to play him over, I forget the guy's name, but they just extended him at shortstop, and he's having a career year at the plate. And then Ketel Marte is probably the best second baseman in Major League Baseball. So you're kind of stuck there where they have to kind of move him. And the Diamondbacks need pitching. They just lost their big-time ace. Their bullpen stinks. So, like, that could be a potential guy where, and again, I'm not super high on Lawler for the Pirates just because he kind of profiles similar to a lot of other guys that have come here and struggled as high prospects. But someone in that situation, I think, would make a lot of sense.
I want to play two games that I think are going to be depressing with Noah when we come back. I mean, we can go position by position like we did. What was it last week, Doran? Where do they actually have solutions? Mm-hmm. And where are they looking for solutions? And then we'll go through some of these tradable assets, what we think they could get for them, who Noah thinks is on the move. Noah, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I don't know if I introduced you properly before. You're wearing a Mount Union 1993 National Championship hat.
Yes, sir. First of 13 titles, baby.
First of 13.
That was the first one.
Yes.
Was there any NFL players on that team?
No, there's a couple Hall of Famers, though. Like their quarterback, Bill Borchette, Jim Ballard is a Hall of Famer. He was like on a practice squad. The NFL players didn't start kind of coming around until they'd won multiple national titles.
Do you know offhand how many national championships Nick Sirianni won at Mountain Union?
I believe he won 7, I want to say. He was there. So they won six in a 7-year window, and that coincided with him being a player and then an assistant coach. So he was there, I think, yeah, they went from 98 through 2000, and then they didn't win in 01, and then it was 02, 03, 04, I believe, or something along those lines. Or maybe it was 99 they didn't win. But regardless, they won 6 in a 7-year window, and he was there for all of that as a player and a coach.
Do you watch them on TV?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, every game?
Yeah. I mean, that's my parents went there. My sister went there. Wow. I went there. Like, that's my school. And so I
love that, man.
So their regular season games, they win every regular season game by like 60 points pretty much. So I just have them on the radio. Like, I listen to the student radio station that I was calling games on when I was younger. But their playoff games, like on College Football Saturdays, I have them on the big TV in my living room. And then I'll have like Georgia Bama on the small secondary screen.
Pardon my ignorance. Are the playoff games close?
Yes. So that's my qualm. We haven't won a national title since 2017. I'm really working to get our NIL.
Who's coaching? Tomlin.
Oh, well, that's a whole different set of, you know. So Larry Karras, the best college football coach of all time, retired right before my freshman year started. His son Vince took over. Vince coached for, I believe, 5 seasons, won 2 national titles. He's now the defensive coordinator at Toledo. And so now it's the son-in-law is the head coach.
Oh, boy.
And they're just, it's not the same Mount Union. We're not winning national titles. We've lost a couple, but we've got to get back to being the machine that we are. But because of this, their games are a lot closer, and that's actually a little bit more enjoyable. When I was like calling games for them in college, I would pre-plan my touchdown calls because I knew I was going to get like 7 or 8 of them every game. Wow. And like, I would go up to players and be like, give me a random word, I'll work it into your touchdown call.
Wow.
And so like WD-40 was one, Pangea was one, and like I could do that because it was kind of like calling professional wrestling because you knew what was going to happen. They won the 1 year in the national semifinal 70-21.
Okay, so you had a guy named that you call his, was his nickname Pangea, or you just
No, I had to just be like, give me a random word. They're like Pangea. I'm like, all right. So I had to figure out how to incorporate that word into a play that was unfolding right in front of me.
You're gonna tell us how you did that when we come back. I have a weird Neil Walker question to ask now, actually, too. You just jogged my memory on something I wanted to bring up a long time ago.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.